It's really good to be here. Anybody really glad to be here today? You know, I really love church, actually, you know. And you probably can tell when you, if you come here long enough, we talk a lot about church. You know, you see, you know, Rex standing up people and you have them link up. And he shows us the picture of the body and how we need each other and how God has to fit us together, mold us together, shape us together. And this life together really makes the difference in our life. But I don't know if I ever really said this publicly, but I really love church. When I was 15 is when I really started to fall in love with church. It's when I really decided to give my life to the Lord. And I wish, and I even still wish to this day, that church was like every day. What I would do is, my church only had service on Sunday and Wednesday. So on Monday, I would go to another church. I would go down the street to Cleveland Church of Christ. They had Power Night. Doesn't that sound exciting? And on Tuesday, I would drive up to Cleveland Heights and to New Spirit Revival Center. They had prayer meeting. On Wednesday, I would go back to my church for Bible study. And then on Thursday, I would come back up to New Spirit Revival Center and have Bible study. Because it was not enough church for me. I really wanted church to be every day. I really loved it. And even to this day, sometimes I wish we can have church every day. I wish we can gather, sing songs, and get into the Word every day. Because it's such a powerful thing when you really think about it. It's an extraordinary meeting. For one, like, God's Spirit is here. Like, there's a lot of different types of meetings, right? People gather together for, you know, the Cleveland Browns, for the Cleveland Cavs. You ever been to a ball game? Man, that's electrifying. You almost get goosebumps. 15,000 people gathered in one place to root on their team and to celebrate their team. You're like, wow. And they're chanting and they're rooting for the team. And you're thinking like, wow, this is really good. But that's not the same as church. Because Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So Jesus promised that when we get together, I'm going to show up. Or when you get together, I'm going to show up. He said, when two of you saints get together, that's it. I'm right there. So people get together for a lot of reasons. Like people get together with old friends, right? You go see an old high school friend. You say, hey, how you doing? How's the job? How's the wife? How's the kids? Those moments are pretty special. Have you ever watched that? Two old buddies getting together. You're like, wow, that's pretty nice. Pretty sweet. You know, you're catching up. You know, I just got a promotion. Oh, yeah, I just got a raise. Great. Praise the Lord. You know, but there's a difference when we get together. Because God's Spirit is here. And I think this meeting is extraordinary. God is here. And what does that mean? Because some people say, you know, yeah, I could just have church at home by myself. No, you really can't. You know, you really need to go to church. That's why Hebrews says in 10, you know, don't forsake the assembling together of yourselves. That means when the saints get together, you need to be there. You really need to be there. Why? Because Jesus is there. It's something that you can't get at home. Some good preachers on TV, really great preachers, but there's something about getting together with the saints. Jesus said, if you get together, listen, I'm going to show up. Is Jesus with us all the time? Yes. But he said, when you get together, I am personally going to show up right there in the midst. And we need that because that's when God comes and searches our heart. When I'm together with the brothers and the sisters and we're rubbing against each other and bouncing ideas off each other and singing songs, you know, and sometimes it hurts, right? Because we all got, you know, our ways and personalities. But somehow in that type of fellowship, you get something. That's Jesus right there. He says, when you get together in my name, see, that's the key. You get together in my name, I will show up right there. So this is an extraordinary meeting, not to be compared with anything else. You know, sometimes kids really have fun at church. You know, they really like it. They look forward to going even. But then you ask them, say, hey, we're going to go to Disney World or we're going to go to church? They might choose Disney World. Why? Because it's kind of all the same. You know, I have fun at church. I have fun at Disney World. No big problem. You know, no big deal. But there's something different and there's something special. And another reason why I like church is because it's an extraordinary reason we are all here. Also, if you think about it, let's really examine this. God loved the world, gave his only begotten son, right? The son came down and died for our sins. And his blood was the atoning sacrifice for our sins. His blood paid the price for all mankind. That's extraordinary when you think about it. We are all here because Jesus died for our sins. But sometimes, you know, it just, church becomes common. You know what's going to happen. Hey, I'm going to come. Ian's going to sing. Rex is going to preach. We're going to eat some food and we're going to go home. Then while you're at home, you're thinking like, well, do I really have to go to church today? You know, I know what's going to happen. I'll just stay home. But Hebrews says, No. Don't forsake it. Don't forsake it. When you get together, Jesus is there. So you can't forsake the gathering together of yourselves. Because the Lord has saved us through Christ's death on the cross. We now have fellowship with God. And that's what 1 Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians 1:9. It should be in your program. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. So there you have God. He has called us into fellowship. And there is fellowship with one another. But this fellowship is fellowship with Jesus Christ. Fellowship with God. And here's the thing, like, we had to be brought back into fellowship because we lost fellowship. Right? Because of sin, because of Adam, right? Here, Adam sins. He comes walking in the garden. And it seems like he almost gets to a certain spot. And he looks around and he doesn't see Adam. Adam, where is he? He's hiding. This is interesting because God asked the first question right here. Adam, where are you? How interesting. Here's God who knows everything, sees everything. Has to ask the question, where are you? It seemed like they had a little certain spot they used to meet at, you know? And then God gets there, Adam is not there. Why is he hiding? Sin. And what does sin do? Break that fellowship. So God sent his son, and the son died and made atonement for that sin. And for all sin, and now we can be brought into fellowship again with God. It's such a marvelous picture. It's extraordinary. When you think about why are we here? What are we doing here? We are here because we now have fellowship with God. And it reminds me of this song. I think we got it up here. It's called What a Fellowship. Anybody know? It's an old song. It was actually on Andy Griffin. I was looking at an episode of Andy Griffin. And the mountain people were having a marriage, and one mountain guy was trying to take the other mountain guy's wife with a shotgun. Anyway, you got to watch the episode. But you know, Andy Griffin was a Christian, actually. You know, and at the marriage, they sung this song: "What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessing is, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting long sing. Leaning, 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 care from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms." And we used to sing it a little bit slower, actually, you know, at my church. You know, what a fellowship, What a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting. There's some deacon to shout out. It's good to be leaning on Jesus Christ, my Savior, safe and secure from all of. It's a really good song, you know. Amen. Somebody went to my church. Yeah, there you go. But if you think about this song for a minute, you know, man, what a fellowship. What a joy divine. Let me take, can I use you for example for a minute? You know, leaning on the everlasting arm. Say, this is Jesus right here, right? You know, big, strong guy. And this song talks about leaning on Jesus. Now move, Ted. No, move that way.
Oh.
Uh-oh, he moved. Why am I still standing here? Because I wasn't really leaning on him. See, when you're leaning on somebody, when they move, you're in trouble. You see that? That's why some people may get a little bit emotional in church. You know, they get a little bit caught up because their whole life is wrapped around Jesus Christ. I'm leaning on him. There is no plan B. If this don't work out, nothing's going to work out. My whole life is built on him, so I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm leaning on Jesus. If he move, I move. So that's why, you know, when you think about this song, what a fellowship. And in this world today, it's really hard to really lean on Jesus because everything is at the click of a button. You know, if I just work a little harder, I can buy a new gadget that can get me what I want. So I don't really have to lean on Jesus, you know, because everything I need, I can get myself. But this song depicts a fellowship that my life is on this guy right here. If this don't work out, I'm dead. I'm gone. I'm leaning on him. Thanks. And this is the fellowship that we are brought into, that Christ died for us. Now we lean on him. He saves us. And his blood wiped away our sins. His blood was for the forgiveness of sins. Say, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. This is really an extraordinary picture. When you think about why we are here and how we got here. And I know we all have our, you know, own reasons for coming to church. You know, some people come to church because, you know, hey, my mom was a Christian. My dad was a Christian. So I'm a Christian. And it's just the right thing to do for a Christian to come to church. You know, Christians go to church. That's why I'm here. But I think there would not be a church if Christ wouldn't have died. And this really deserves a certain amount of examination when you think about what happened. John 1 in your program, we see here that John describes Jesus in a really deep way. He goes all the way back to the beginning. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. And if you notice, I skipped verses 6 through 10, only because it describes John. And so anyway, just want to throw that in there. I didn't. That's why I left out those verses. He came out, he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace. When you really first read this, these verses, it's kind of hard to figure out what's going on. Who is this Word? Then once you get down to 14, you realize, oh, this is Jesus. So when we think of Jesus, we got to really dig a little bit deeper. He's not just a prophet. He's not just a good and perfect man, right? He's God. He's God. He created all things. Jesus created all things. All things was created by him. And without him, nothing was created. So then when you read Genesis 1:26 and it says, let us make man in our image. Then it says God created man in his image. So we see that there's a us and there's an our. Then God created man in his image. So you see there the triune God. We see Jesus is on the scene from the beginning. He is with God and he is God. And then it says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of God. So this is the thing, when we see Jesus, not just a prophet, not just a wise man, not just a perfect man, but this is God. God has become flesh, dwelt among us, and the glory of the Lord has walked among us. And we have seen the glory of God. The glory of God has come down and walked. And we are all witnesses of that. You see that? It's a really marvelous picture. If you think about salvation for a minute, God becoming flesh, dying for the sins of the world, and his blood being the propitiation for our sins, that now we can have fellowship with God again. Leaning on the everlasting arms. It's really great. I sang this song too when we were preaching, right? You know, I don't know if you remember, Ted. Yeah, I tried to get you involved in it. Remember that? You know, because, you know, when you're out preaching the gospel, you just need that good song. But, you know, one thing, I'm happy to be out preaching the gospel. But another thing, I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to know the truth. I'm happy to be saved. I'm happy to have my sins forgiven, because I know that they were many. So now I can enter into that fellowship with the Lord. So when we come together, Jesus said, when you come together, when the saints who have been forgiven and who have received me by faith come together in my name, I'm right there. And now we can fellowship. So then when you think about a Christian, you know, because you mean, like, if you really go out and talk to people in America, you say, are you a Christian? They say, yeah, I go to church. But they really don't know what that means. Are you a child of God? Have you received Christ? Have you believed on him by faith and received that propitiation for your sins? Have you come to the foot of the cross and said, Lord, save me? Do you have fellowship with Jesus Christ? That's the thing that makes this meeting so different. You may meet with friends. You may meet at the ball game. You know, there's a lot of different meetings in this world. But this meeting is extraordinary. 2 Corinthians is not in there. Sorry about that. It says, he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So now, Jesus, let me have you again, Ted, one more time. And it's really simple today. It's a really simple message today. Jesus died for our sins. And now we have fellowship. And now because he died for me, I do this. Not this. There's a lot of people touching God, but then, here, you move. Then you're still standing there. It's not that, it's this. I'm leaning on him. My life is built on him. I don't have a plan B, you know. This is it for me. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. And this is what makes fellowship so sweet. Because it says you have to come in my name. And I think when we all get together on one accord in Jesus' name, I think the power and the presence of God would be more. Because it's like this. Okay, think about this. All right, if 3 people out of 40 people in here are gathered in the name of Jesus, then Jesus is still there. But there's no connection. Because if these folks over here are gathered in the name of Jesus, then Jesus is there. But then Jesus tries to go over here, you know, and then these folks are not gathered in the name of Jesus, then he has to, I got to leap over them. And then I have to go over here because these folks are actually gathered in my name. But then when we all get on one accord, we are all here for the Lord. We are all here in the name of the Lord. I think we all are leaning on the Lord. I think what a powerful meeting. Then you watch it. Then you're looking at church on a whole nother level. Well, I wouldn't even say on a whole nother level. Then you can really see church for what it was intended for. The presence of God. Then I feel like Christ can really do a work in our hearts. Because he works on us day by day at the job and stuff like that. But when we come together, he says, I'm going to show up and I'm going to search the hearts. I'm going to be here for a special work. When you get together, when you gather in my name, I'm going to personally just walk down here and walk amongst you. And I feel like that's where Christ can really do a great work in our heart. So it's fascinating when we think about why we are here and what it means to be a Christian. This fellowship, and here's something that's probably going to be really hard when you go out into the world, because you're going to meet people that say, well, I can believe whatever I want to believe and still be saved. And what do you say? Ted, what do you say to that? It's not true. Why isn't it true?
Is that?
But can I just believe in karma? Can I just believe in you know? Hey, I do good things. Why am I not saved? Right. There's a fellowship. It's not about good works. But it's about entering into that fellowship through the blood of Christ. And that's why we are here. So it's simple. I'm going to actually stop right there. And I want you to remember this song and sing it while you're washing dishes. Leaning on the everlasting arms. And let this be your testimony. I'm in fellowship with the Lord. My sins are forgiven. And now I'm leaning on the Lord.